There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that...
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And a phone number and the text line. You can use this throughout the hour. You could use it throughout the 56 hours a week of live local shows. Text line and phone line both 343-0106. 343-0106. You could also use the FM Talk 106.5 app for an additional way. You'll see a microphone icon on the front page. If you press that, it lets you record a message and it can email it to the show, which I may use some of those. And I'm getting your questions in for this mayoral event I have coming up on the 14th. Getting your questions in to Sean at fmtalk1065.com for Mobile City residents only on that side. And we may use that app to get y'all to record them, too. But we'll talk about that when we get there. Also, speaking of mayoral politics, this confirmed for Monday. Josh Brown, running for Bay Minette mayor, he's going to join us on the show on Monday. And speaking of the mayoral politics, it's Rob Holbert from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. He was at the forum, not debate, but the forum the other night. And can I pull back the curtain? Was it action-packed and exciting?
It was, you know, like I'm not saying anything negative about the organizers. It was, they did a great job of getting people in there. They asked good questions.
But forums are not, they're not explosive. I mean.
They're not explosive. And I also, I mean, I will say, you know, just personally, I'm very undecided at this point. I walked in there and I'm kind of like, you know, somebody show me something. And.
I've heard the same really, thing, Rob. You're not the only
I'm not
one.
Getting it. Yeah.
You're not the only undecided.
Me, hey, it's a little dull. It's a little, you know. I think there's a lot out there, you know, a lot of folks out there who have not made up their minds. I think we need a little bit of. I'm not saying we need name calling and accusations and all that kind of stuff, but I think we need a little bit of fire about like why are you better than these guys or what's wrong with the city that you're going to fix and what's right versus, you know, will you do this? If you're elected, will you, you know, pledge to clean out the ditches? Well, sure. You know, yeah, we do. You know, I mean, I think there's the problem with forums is that they are a little bit, they're certainly easier on the candidates.
Sure.
If you put it that way. And it's harder to differentiate, I think, a little bit.
Well, Barbara Drummond's come out and said she wants debates. So we're working on that right
and
now.
And I applaud her for that.
Yeah.
I applaud her for that. I think it's great.
And, you know, I think it's,
we'd be happily involved with it.
Yeah. And you know, what you're getting at, I think, I don't, for me, and by the way, you being undecided, it's funny talking to campaigns that think everybody's already decided and then just me, like, going to the grocery store or hanging out with folks, it sounds like that's not in. I mean, I have an unscientific sample, but sounds like they aren't decided.
Right.
But the debate format or something, it's the follow-on question that interests me. Like, okay, you talk about the ditches, but let's say public safety. And there's not a candidate, none of the four are going to get up there and say, I don't care about public safety in Mobile. They're all going to say it.
Right.
What I would like to hear is, okay, what's your idea? What are we not doing now that you think we could do that would make this better? Not just, I'm going to be for public safety. Okay, well, good, cool. We all are. What's your plan? Give it to me.
Yeah. I think there needs to be more specific. You know, I need more specifics from people. And that's some of the issue is, you know, hey, we'll definitely be looking at that. And we're definitely going to put some people on that. We're definitely thinking about, you know, that kind of stuff is very vague and very, you know, yeah, once you put me in, trust me, we'll get around to this. And versus, you know, we need to do these exact things. I would like to hear that. I think it would, make it a little bit harder, I mean, a little easier to make a decision and to differentiate between some folks. You know, Paul Pryor the other night made some, he probably made more statements about things that were a little more, you know, kind of gave up his position on some things that, that or gave, you know, let you know what he thought about them. I mean, he was kind of decidedly against the arena, you know, the new arena. He made some comments to the effect that we shouldn't be spending the money on it, but he has some ideas about we need X amount of cops and that kind of thing. So, I mean, there was some of that. But overall, there was a lot of vagueness. I mean, them to talk to each other and kind of let us be the fly on the wall, listen to them discuss what they would do and why we should do it this way.
Yeah, what's the plan? You know, not that they have a plan for everything, but I want to know, because I can imagine when you're the dog that catches the car, you do get elected. Let's say you get elected for being mayor of a city. You are, I'm sure, in the first, I mean, I'm going to give them some grace, because you walk in there, you think you know what the job is. The next thing you know, I bet you there's 25 people standing at the doorway going, hey, what about this? What about the, you know, you almost have to have a plan to come in with, because I think you're in the beginning until you get your feet under you, you must be so inundated with questions you don't have answers to. It must be boggling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the mayor's job is to, sitting there eating a sandwich for lunch, somebody's going to come and tell you about a pothole, or they're going to tell you about a business that we need, or they're going to tell you about issues that they have. I mean, it is nonstop. I mean, it is. You know, so
if there's a debate, I get to compare ideas, right? I mean, it's like pitch your idea. Okay, here's my idea to make public safety better. Well, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. The other goes, you know, well, I think if you did this and that, you might say, well, that makes more sense, or whatever. I mean, it could be about the ditches. It could be about anything. Give me a plan.
Yeah, well, it also gives them an opportunity to say, you know, look, I think that your idea, here's the problem with your idea, and this is why mine's better. It gives them an opportunity to be a little more aggressive. And I mean, frankly, at this point, this stage of the game, you're going to have to be a little more aggressive if you want the job, because I didn't see, you know, it was a very cordial event, other than a lot of feedback from the microphone. But I mean, it's a very cordial event. Everybody was very respectful of one another, which I applaud that. But by the same token, you got to get a little bit down in the dirt and say, hey, you know, I'm better than this. I've got this idea. It's better than your idea, and defend your idea. That's fine. But if there's no real follow up, it's kind of tough.
Yeah. And I guess it's a good point. You said it, that people get this idea that for a debate to be substantive, it has to be, as to not be cordial. It absolutely can be cordial. It can be just, it doesn't mean anybody got to holler, but you can say, I don't think your idea works, and here's why. And here's my idea. That you don't have to be nasty doing that.
No. Just an intellectual discussion of people who may not completely agree on every subject. And that's the issue. You come away from some of these things and you don't really have an idea why their ideas are different. They are kind of, I think that's a problem. Yeah, trash is a problem. This is, you know, we definitely need to take care of this. But, we all agree that's the problem. How are you going to do it? You know, or how lenient are you going to be with trash? Are you going to have your cops writing tickets for somebody who throws cigarette butts out the window? Or does it have to be a Frosty? Does it have to be whatever? You know, I mean, you know, what are the things? Where's your limit? I need to know.
I'm trying to coordinate what I'm going to throw out of the car or not. I think it was the first term of Mayor Stimson when he came in and talked about the litter that had driven him crazy. I may or may not have made April Fool's bit about it. Got me a little bit of hot water back then. But that was a big thing. And he was like, I'm not going to. But he had it to the point that I could lampoon it and say that there were going to be roadblocks to find possible litter in your vehicle. I mean, it was not like I think litter's bad. It's like, I'm going to ticket the crap out of people if they litter.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, we could all probably agree we haven't gotten any better in that respect. I think we are just, you know, this is a tough nut to crack on the litter thing. I don't want to get off on the subject, but I mean, it is tough. So there needs to be a plan for that. Every person up there said, yes, litter's terrible and we're going to take care of it. But
how? 100%.
What is your magic going to be that has not been working so far. You know, and that's the thing.
Well, hopefully we get that out here in the next month or so with these debate maybe coming forward between now and then. Also, any word from your staff? Does anybody have a gimmick? Because one of the things I've loved over time in Mobile mayoral politics is gimmicks, whether it's Dr. Doris Brown and the ice cream cones in the zoo and the cruise ship to Sandy Stimson and the Sandy Bear. I may have seen the Sandy Bear show up at the Nappies the other night. Anybody got a gimmick this year? Is there any gimmicks in this?
I did not see any gimmicks.
Dang it.
People need that. We need a little more carnival, too. You know, we need a little more. You know, like, the old brother, where art thou? You know, you need the little man with a broom. I need something.
So for the campaigns, I want you all to hear two things. Number one, a gimmick I'm asking for. And number two, I know you all have your internal polling, and people on the text line, let me know what y'all hear. But what Rob just said, being undecided, I hear that more than I hear decided. I absolutely do. Yeah. And I've been doing this for a long time. So if the campaigns think everybody's decided, I don't think that's the way it goes. All right. You got an add-on? Come on. What you got?
No, I was saying I agree with that. I do agree with that. I think I've heard a lot of folks saying, I don't know. I don't know yet.
So two of us, y'all, campaigns, Rob and I both are telling you. So he agrees that everybody has not made up their mind out there. So y'all just know that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a bad segue. Speaking of debates, follow with me, y'all. There's going to be a debate in Orange Beach coming up next month between Mayor Kinnon and the man who would like to be the next mayor of Orange Beach. This is going to be a real debate here, right? This is Jeff Boyd, and it's a debate with back and forth here. So that's there. So which brings me to, of course, it's in your Damn the Torpedoes this week in laying up the things Tony won't say. Can you bring us up to date here with what Mayor Kinnon won't say?
Well, I mean, he won't say anything about the questions we've asked about what's going on, you know, what went on at the Coastal Resources Building last Labor Day, and why he has an extra office there, and whether he uses police cars to drive him to bars. But you know, the story we came out with yesterday, I think there's some things that, at least the part about using police officers to drive him after he's been out drinking, that's answered. And we got police reports from his 2019 dust up at the Alabama, and you know, he came out after that and went to a couple of TV stations and said, you know, I was targeted, I wasn't even in the building, and all this other stuff. We weren't drinking, and you know, I was waiting for an Uber, and none of those things are none of those things are in concert with what was in the police reports. And we got reports from the Sheriff's Department of Escambia County, which also in the documents they gave us included police reports from Orange Beach, which they had asked for to conduct their investigation into this thing. And I mean, you know, you can read them. They're on our webpage, I should say.
Now, when y'all look at it, they got the PDFs of the police report in there. I looked through it. I mean, it's right there.
They don't match up with what he said happened. And, you know, and I think, but the other part about it is the officer from Orange Beach says explicitly, I was called at 2 a.m. by Tony Kinnon to come pick him up. This is the officer who just interviewed the guy who claimed he had been punched in the nose by the mayor. And that was also verified by Escambia County sheriffs who had gotten the video from Orange Beach, had gotten the body camera footage from that ride home so they could see if there was anything there that they needed to look at. So, I mean, it's in those two different police reports.
Yeah, and which are linked through in the story. Y'all look at those over at laneatmobile.com. I was looking through them, and it's, police reports right there. You can look at them. People have asked me the other day, do you think this is going to come up during the debate in Orange Beach? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there will be a question tailored towards it, or if one. I don't know if this comes up.
Look, I mean, if somebody's not going to question whether it's an appropriate use of an office space to get another office space for the mayor that nobody knows what he's using it for, and that, you know, and it's not an appropriate question to ask about the police department's activity that evening and how it happened and the failures that they had, the admitted failures they had in finding who the alleged victim, going and seeing the alleged victim, finding out who was there at 1 a.m, who was being, you know, there was a 911 call saying someone was being punched in the face. You know, those are legitimate questions. That's not mudslinging. That is not rumor and innuendo. That's somebody, there is someone on a city-owned building that was there that night punching someone in the face, according to an eyewitness who called 911, and the police didn't do their job. So, yeah, there's questions that I think are reasonable questions. I mean, if you want to be the mayor of Orange Beach, is that not something you would be interested in knowing? I mean, I would think that those are reasonable questions. And, you know, whether it's okay for the mayor of Orange Beach to call on-duty police officers to come get him when he's been drinking.
We'll see what shows up in the debate next month. Before we wrap up, too, I want to talk about the cover story. We know that, I know that they're always doing good stuff here with USA Health and research,
yeah.
But
yeah.
This liver cancer, which is horribly deadly, and USA Health is working on this. I don't even know if I can pronounce the name of this technology, but it seems like a big deal.
Liptotripy, I think, or something. It's hiptotripy, but it is basically, it's focused ultrasound is what it is. It's ultrasound being used to focus down on a pinpoint and obliterate these cancers, you know, and liquefy them and just let the body absorb them. It's like space age technology where you're just like, this is crazy. And it's something, honestly, I've been very interested in for a long time. And watching it, you know, when's this ever going to happen? When's it going to come? It's here. And, you know, that's an amazing thing to be able to use that. That is to take care of a cancer without having to cut you open, without having to have these big surgeries. It's an amazing technology.
Yeah, when y'all read the story when Brady reported this, one of the sentences come by, the entire procedure that I can't pronounce thing. The entire procedure takes approximately 5 to 10 minutes, depending on the size of the tumor, with typically little or no side effects reported by patients. Those of us that have dealt with the treatment of cancer with our loved ones, this is unreal. I mean, 5 to 10 minutes?
It is. Yeah, it is. It is. It's amazing. You know, and I have a friend whose child died about 4 or 5 years ago of liver cancer. And, you know, I just wonder, could this have been something at that point that may have saved his life? I know how many terrible, I mean, he had to go through a liver transplant and then multitudes of surgeries. It really is an amazing thing. I hope that it will, I assume, and it will spread to other things that you can use.
Right. That's what I'm about to ask. If you use it for liver, can the same idea be used for breast cancer or
they're doing it different countries are doing it different things, you know. It's being used in some places for Parkinson's and other things like that. There's a variety of things. It seems like FDA has cleared this in the United States, but there are other places that are doing different things with the same type of technology. It will be, I think, much more widespread, hopefully sooner rather than later, but it is just really a tremendous thing for South to have at the Mitchell Cancer Center. And, you know, it's a big deal for our community, I think, especially if you're somebody who is suffering from that or know somebody who's suffering from it.
It's the cover story in this week's Lanyap. And then reminder two, you do the online thing like I do. Tell people how to get signed up.
Yeah, you go to lanyapmobile.com, sign up for Lanyap Daily. It's just $1 for the first month, $9 a month after that, 30 cents a day, folks.
There you go.
News.
Yeah, and you don't ever have to get ink on your hands. See, I just do it digitally.
No.
See, it keeps my hands clean.
Most of our stuff online. Yeah, most of it's online, so you're missing a lot of stuff if you're not there.
All right, Rob, be good. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Sean. Thanks a lot.
All right, Rob Holbert from Lanyap, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 127 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. And speaking of the don't vote, do you listen? Coming up on the 14th at the, we're going to be there at the Business Expo, which is at the Mobile Convention Center. So we'll be there. We usually do Midday Mobile from there. But in addition to being there to do Midday Mobile, we will be having the four Mobile mayoral candidates together right there at the Business Expo. And gotten some good questions so far emailed to me. And that's the best way, because we get so many texts, they can get lost in the mix. So email, you got to be a Mobile resident, and then email Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com, and put like mayoral question or something in the title so I see it, because I can organize them all. And then we'll get those put together. And I'm also soliciting some groups in town. Like if you have a group that would have a question about how the city of Mobile does something, we'll get those as well. I'll look through them, try to line them up. And those are the questions we're going to ask of the candidates. And that is on the 14th of August at the Convention Center at the Mobile Business Expo. But we'll be set up there so you can come by and watch it happen live from noon to 2 on August 14th. That is Thursday. You can come down and check it out. All right, we'll come back. And questions? Well, we got some questions, because earlier this week, and I saw some of the commentary and heard from folks, it was Tuesday morning, for sure. It was Tuesday morning when Dan and Dalton were talking with Quinn Hillier about DNI Gabbard coming out with the information about what the government knew, who was behind pushing the Russia hoax story. And we'll give him another bite at the apple. Quinn's going to come in and talk about that with me in just minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile Thursday style. Glad to have you along. Coming up in just a second, Quinn Hillier joins us first. Blaine Price from Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. How about it, Blaine?
How you doing, Sean?
I'm good. Are you still doing that? We talked about it earlier in the week, that MX-50 tractor, and then you were throwing in a lawnmower with it?
Yeah, so any of our MX tractors, that's like our 50 and 60 horse tractors, doesn't matter if it's an open cab, enclosed cab, with a loader, without, with implements, without. As long as you purchase just the tractor, we're going to throw in a Kubota Zero Turn for free on that deal right now.
I like it.
And you know, like I said, it doesn't matter if it's a package deal, if it's just a tractor without a loader, doesn't matter if it's cash or finance, open cab or enclosed cab, all of that qualifies for the free mower. And so, yeah, we've been going quite a few of them this week, but we still got plenty in stock.
Yeah. Also, what's in stock, and this is, as people look forward to the weekend here, they got projects to do. Y'all got a huge rental department, but I like it that you point out, because people get an idea like, oh, I don't need a cherry picker. You know, I don't need this big piece of equipment. I'm just working at the yard. You got stuff like, if anybody's resodded their yard or done backyard improvement projects, you got the equipment that gets through your gate and works in the backyard, so you don't have to do it by hand.
Correct. Yeah. So we've got stuff all the way down from small hand tools up to, you know, your bigger skid steers, excavators, dozers, stuff like that. So we're not just commercial. I mean, we do a lot of homeowner rentals as well for just weekend projects, like you said, in the yard. We've got all that equipment that can get through the 4-foot gates in the backyard.
Yep.
Whether you're moving dirt, trying to rip something out, or we got our little walk behind trenchers. If you're wanting to run a new water line, power, whatever the case may be, I guarantee you we've got something here to help with all those type of projects.
All right. So if it's a new tractor for them, or a rental, or anything in between, how do they find you?
Come see us. We're here at Parrish Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171 or visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Good stuff, Blaine. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine at Parrish Tractor. And you usually hear him on with Dan and Dalton on Tuesday mornings. He's in on a Thursday afternoon from QuinnHilliard.com. Works with the NOLA publications as well. And man of novels. You working on any new novels? Anything for in the mix there?
Not right now.
It's Quinn Hilliard, everybody. Okay, just seeing. I want to follow up because you were in a conversation. It was limited on Tuesday morning. And give you some more time here to talk, and some more information's come out. So Tulsi Gabbard came out, with early in the week, Monday with the Friday. I'm sorry, which was weird to me that it came out on a Friday, but with these documentations about the Russian, whatever you want to call it, collusion, working together, whatever we want to call it, because I know people go back and forth about what word is used there, collaboration, and then the more stuff came out yesterday. Have you at this point change your mind any about what's come out here, about how it seems like even though intelligence knew that this wasn't true, they didn't do anything to tamp it down, and they let it go to use it kind of as, I think somebody said, a slow coup the other day against Trump?
No. What was my understanding, what was released yesterday, was a House Republican report that was actually done back in 2017. So that's the supposedly new information.
Well, yeah, it said the CIA did not, to quote part of it, did not adhere to the tenets of analytical standards, and said the conclusion that Putin took actions to benefit Trump was based on one scant, unclear, and unverifiable fragment of a sentence from one of the substandard reports, end quote.
And that is absolutely bonkers because of all the evidence, exhaustive evidence amassed in the Mueller report, which runs for hundreds of pages, and which I again reviewed last night, which established beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Russian efforts, which started as a general effort to sow discord in the American political system, moved pretty quickly into support for Trump and opposition to Clinton. Now, that absolutely 100% proved aspect of what Russia was doing, which was a fairly sophisticated media campaign that just like any advertising, et cetera, was used in various different ways to persuade voters.
But this isn't novel or unique, right? I mean, okay. Yeah, I was going to say.
But except that the scale of it, the scope of it, and the sort of new technology, new communications sophistication of it was new and different.
How is that new? Would they use it was new tech in 2016?
Well, let me read you. For instance, in November 2017, a Facebook representative testified Facebook had identified 470 different Facebook accounts controlled by the IRA. That is this Russian outfit run by Prigozhin, whatever his name is, who's a close associate of Putin. That collectively made 80,000 posts and reached as many as 126 million people through Facebook accounts alone.
That's been going on, on Twitter that aren't even real people. So, yeah, I mean.
Facebook and Twitter as means of major political persuasion were still fairly new in 2015-2016.
What? It was the Obama administration that said how much they use social media to get elected. This has been going on for a long time.
Right. But
it's novel.
But,
it's not novel. Foreign, it's not unique.
Excuse me, foreign governments making sophisticated use of this to that extent to reach 126 million people by Facebook alone that don't even get into Twitter, don't even get into the rallies, don't even get into the
Right, so I don't think we disagree, is what I'm saying. I don't think we disagree that Russia does this, and we do this in other countries ourselves,
but
right?
This was, as I said, the scope, the scale, and the sophistication of it by Russia was new, and there is no doubt that they were trying to help Trump. Now, that is a far different thing from saying, and I pointed this out all through 2016, 17, 18, and 19, and column after column after column. That's a far different thing from saying that Trump, they shouldn't use the word colluded, because that's a meaningless word.
But that's what they did. They use that word a lot.
Excuse me. They use that word a lot, but that's a far different, and there is evidence, if you want to take the basic vernacular, there is evidence that that a lot of Trump's people in the broad sense actually did sort of collude, but they didn't conspire, they didn't collaborate in legal ways. But that's a far different thing from saying that, as the left did, that there was a massive effort by Trump and his team to conspire or collaborate with the Russians. And so I consistently fought back against that leftist narrative. My whole point in all of this is to say that the actual facts, the actual truth of all of this is very much in the middle between the crazy attacks by the left and the crazy counterattacks by the Trump team. The fact is Russia did this. The fact is that it was much bigger and much and more sophisticated than Russia or any foreign country had done before. The fact is that Trump's team saw this, liked it, deliberately amplified it.
They
had a fairly systematic way when they would see it. This in to say that they were working with Russia to create
fine. You said they're amplifying it. They're not in control of it, but they're amplifying. How did they amplify it?
Okay, you retweet, you reshare, you use your campaign apparatus to send out press releases based on it. They did all these sort of things that were like, okay, good. This is helping get our word out. So, and then there were a number of meetings, including one very particular important one, but a number of meetings where Trump people actually did meet with Russian representatives, often in passing. So there was.
It's like what happened to Sessions. Was somebody there at the same time
exactly
you were there? Happened.
No. Excuse me. It was worse than what happened to Sessions. And go back to where I defended Sessions and I completely trashed the left for their attacks on Jeff Sessions in that.
Mm, so did I. So did I.
Yes, exactly. So again, there are subtle shades of difference between.
Does Trump know? Did Trump? First of all, you're saying that Russia does this independently. Trump didn't. So you admit that Trump didn't go, "Hey, Putin, we got to do this thing for you to win me the election."
Bingo.
Okay.
Exactly.
So then it comes out. So Putin makes his decision. Gets Gummy Bear or whatever his hacking group is, his people to start doing this, and then how is that then go to the level of the hoax and Russia's working with him and he's whatever we're working together to get himself elected with Putin, that he is the Manchurian candidate. I mean, that was the allegation by the media.
It was more by the left and by the MSNBC part of the media, maybe the New York Times, but that certainly was
pretty big names right there. I think there are more, but those are pretty big.
Okay. Excuse me. Yes. But, how does it go from there? Because you did have people like Paul Manafort, who, by the way, was convicted, who was a Trump campaign manager, who was convicted of illegal contacts with Russia. You had, as a matter of fact, I believe it was 15 people, most of them Russian entities, convicted of illegality. And you had Trump and his son both having bragged that they had more business in Russia than anywhere else. You had a whole bunch of things that looked.
Which, I mean, if somebody says something, wait, one second. If somebody says something, hold on. If somebody says something, hey, I have more business dealings with it, that doesn't mean, to me, that's the person who has nothing to hide. If I'm going to tell you, yeah, I do business there. I mean, if it's the person, like, you didn't hear Biden talk about the businesses, and I'm not doing, you know, whataboutism, but I mean, if you didn't have anything to hide, you wouldn't point out that you did business there.
No, he didn't point it out during the campaign. This is stuff that he had said back in 2008, 2009, 2010, when he's not a candidate, saying, and not just saying, but it was an actual fact that he had that much business with Russia. So the point is, when you've got a whole multi-million dollars of business, when you've got Trump consistently, repeatedly saying Putin's a good guy, not a bad guy, mm-hmm. and then when you have all of this Russian help that ends up being aimed at helping Trump, and you have that infamous meeting where an associate, sort of a middleman, goes to Don Jr. and says that the Crown, quote, the Crown Prosecutor of Russia, quote, offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
This is, quote, part of Russia and its government support for Trump. And when that comes in, which should send off all sorts of warning bells, instead, Don Jr. says he eagerly takes the meeting. He brings in Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, and Manafort, the mm-hmm. campaign manager, and they go meet with these people. So all of which is reason to say that there was ample reason to investigate whether there was an illegal conspiracy.
Okay.
To conclude that there was, but no, please let me finish. There was reason to investigate that, which was the second part of the Mueller probe of what Russia did, how they did it, and whether what Russia did was illegal.
Well, of course, Russia doesn't care what laws they break. I would say that, and that's a whole, I kind of want to get back in the couple minutes left to this soft, long coup, but the idea of, I talk about it in state government all the time, quid pro quo. You got to have quid and you got to have pro quo, right? You got to have the quid and the quo in this. If I'm elected official, let's say Alabama House District, whatever, and whatever entity comes and says, I want to give you a bunch of money and make sure you get elected. All right. I'm not going to do your bidding. If you want to give me money, you see what I'm saying? Like, where's the other part of this? If they say, hey, we prefer, wait, give me a second. If they prefer you to Clinton, okay, and we're going to give you information or whatever, okay. I mean, it didn't make a deal that then you do X, Y, and Z. I mean, I wasn't in the meeting. I don't know what happened. But let's say we go with that narrative that says, hey, Russia's got some pretty good information for you here that'll help you win this election. Okay. And they asked me to do something, you know, to pay it back.
Anybody in any campaign knows that if somebody representing a foreign government says that they want to have a meeting with you to help you win the campaign,
mm-hmm.
the first thing you do is you call in the FBI. That's what you do, and that's what anybody should do and should know to do. Okay, so the point is not Trump's guilty. I'm not saying that. The point is, was there reason to open an investigation? Yes, there was.
But what about the fact that before we wrap, that they said, okay, but they did that and they figure out that there wasn't this, but they let that they let that sit out there in space and go on that there was a hoax or collusion and all these things when intelligence interest knew that it was. I mean, they'd done the research and it wasn't there.
No. That's not, first of all, that is not, even what Tulsi Gabbard has released does not support what Tulsi Gabbard said was the interpretation. But the bigger point is that just as the left went way overboard in saying this vast conspiracy and an illegal action by Trump, so too As I urged all during 2017, 18, and 19, I said, let the facts come out. Don't jump to conclusions because one or a couple of politicians, like Tulsi Gabbard, who, by the way, has no credibility whatsoever.
None, zero, 100% has no credibility.
Yeah, yeah, none when it comes to Russia. And 18 months ago...
Because she has some opinion other than what is the neocon opinion.
No, 18 months ago, everybody in Trump world was saying that she had no credibility because there's ample evidence.
I think she has the nation's best interest at heart, actually.
She's got zero credibility.
But we'll disagree on that one.
I can cite chapter and verse, and lots of people have, and the Trump people all said that 18 months ago.
But if you disagree with the Trump people, then did you agree with them back then?
Excuse me. Either way, the point I was trying to make then on Tuesday, the point I'm making now, is how about not jumping to conclusions? The left jumped to conclusions. The right jumped to conclusions. The MAGA world jumped on all this Kraken stuff about the 2020 elections, which was absolutely bogus, and people went to jail for it. How about waiting and seeing and not jumping to conclusions? There was the truth is very much in the middle of what everybody's going to say.
I'm just looking at new information coming out. That's what I'm looking at. I wasn't doing this before Friday, before last Friday when it came out. I wasn't doing that. So I'm working off what's new.
Most of the new information that has come out is not actually new information, number one. It's just not. It was put out by the House Republicans in 2017. So most of that is not new. But either way,
Politico calling it newly released information. I mean, Politico, The Hill,
The first part of it was some newly released information. But it wasn't anywhere near as sweeping as Tulsi Gabbard or the Trump team said it was. And the actual documentation that they released is not anywhere near as damning as they say it was.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. We'll have to leave it at that for now because I'm up against the last break of the hour. I ran out of time. Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Reaches for a Condola. And if they want to reach out to you on social media, where do they do it?
I don't know, Quinn, at Quinn Hillier on Facebook.
All right, very good. Quinn, there he goes, Quinn Hillier. Want to make sure he has time because he had a short amount of time the other day with Dan and Dalton. Trying to offer him a little more time. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, just like less than a minute left here. Ran out of time. And I wanted to give quick people, believe me, tons of texts here. I'm going to try to answer some of these when we get off the air. Majority, I think, actually all y'all disagreeing with Quinn. But like Buddy asked, he says, why do y'all have Quinn on? He lives in a different world. Thank you for correcting him. He'll be the next guest on Colbert's show to say how he was wronged. I do that because, and I've said this before, so Quinn was on, had a limited time with Dan and Dalton on Tuesday morning. Even though I don't agree with his assessment, I agree with him trying to flesh out his argument. I disagree with him, but it's worth having, at least on that day. We'll see. We'll see if we got to do an addendum to this at any point. But I think right now, just sit back and wait and see what comes out next. Me, the Tulsi Gabbard fan. Oh, well. All right, Paul Feinbaum's on the way next. It'll be a lot less contentious on this show. Right.